It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan in here. The O-Dog will be back in just a moment. Off doing a Sports Center hit. Leafs Wings tonight on TSN 4. Leafs coming off a 2-0 loss in Minnesota last night. Raptors in action as well tonight. Brooklyn in town. And the Raps are just kind of plugging away and doing their thing. But the truth is, the Leafs, based on a standings perspective, are the exact same as the Raptors. Like, they're both good teams, way up there in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Both comfortably into a playoff spot. Yet, if the Raptors were to lose two in a row or play poorly over a stretch of 7 to 10 games, I don't think people would be freaking out. They'd be convinced that everything would come around and the veteran leadership that's been there before would get it back on the rails.
Because you know what this team is. They've been doing it for 3-4 years?
Three or four years, yep.
Like, that same type of consistency. The Leafs did it 1 year, and they didn't have to have a miracle run, but they made it in the last week of the season, and there were some hairy moments, and you were still figuring out what you had. Frederik Andersen was still establishing himself as a clear-cut number one. Now you know he's the number one. Auston Matthews, yeah, he hit the ground running, and we all know what he is, but I think at the start of the season, we were all thinking, okay, what's Mitch Marner going to be? You know, William Nylander, where are they going to fit? Like, there was a lot of question marks around last year's team that, for the most part, were answered. But I think we've said this all collectively on this show. Last year was a perfect season as far as everything seemed to go right. You know, they had health, which, you know, we knock on wood and Austin's banged up. But it's not... You know, the light's at the end of the tunnel. He's coming back in the next little bit.
You would think so, Noodles, but he's not playing again tonight.
Yes.
And when they dropped the game time decision last Sunday,
yeah,
and then he doesn't take the warm-up, doesn't play, and then he travels with the team.
Yeah, you wonder if he's had a setback, if he has a concussion.
No one has a clue what he's got, but at this point, if they're not going to tell you anything, why should you believe it's truly day-to-day? Why should you believe he's ever a game-time decision? I mean, obviously, at some point, he's going to play again. It's not like he's going to retire at this weekend. But would I be surprised if he plays on Tuesday against Carolina? I guess I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't be, but...
Would I be surprised if he's not back until the new year? I wouldn't be. Like, that's honestly the spectrum I'm dealing with here. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't have a clue what he's got.
Well, we don't, but we can all assume that if it's a concussion, then you're at least a week before you even look at it. Like, before, like, that's kind of like the, I don't know if it's written or unwritten, like, you give it a week and then you start testing it.
Generally the protocol, but some guys are freaks of nature and they come right back.
But other guys, like, Al Montoya has had a concussion for the Montreal Canadiens. How long's he been out?
Exactly. But that's my point. I don't know what Matthews is when it comes to concussions. For all I know, he's never had one.
Right. This could be his first registered concussion.
If he has a concussion, which we don't even know.
Exactly.
But if he does, who's to say he's not going to react the same way Montoya did? Maybe he's not back for a month and a half.
Or Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury played his first game last night, or is back in the lineup in this past week. And how long was he out?
Over a month. I think he went out the first handful of games of the season.
Yeah.
Fourth or fifth game of the year he went out.
Yeah, and they're 30 games in.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what I'm saying here.
So
like all this focus on, you know, obviously they're a different team with Matthews. Obviously they can't fill in the skates of Matthews. Clearly, we know that. We knew that before. That 5-0 record without him was an anomaly. That was not a reality. That was not going to continue. At some point, you were going to feel the absence of Auston Matthews, and they're feeling it now, but someone else has got to step up.
Right.
Someone else has to trigger some offensive push, and last night they had nothing. They didn't have much in Philly, and they didn't have anything against Edmonton either on Sunday.
Right.
Like, it's three games in a row. Even against Pittsburgh, they had that hot start. Yeah. 3 goals in the first 15 minutes. And after that, they kind of coasted home and held on a little bit.
Yeah.
No, so we're right. talking 4 games here, you know, 10, 11 periods of really, you know,
mediocre hockey.
Mediocre, unimpressive, not much of a spark type of hockey. Now, I'm bracing for ups and downs throughout the season. They've already had that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not freaking out here. I'm not thinking that all of a sudden they're going to go into a tailspin and never recover. I think they will recover. But it's more of a curiosity at this point. I want to see who's going to step up. We keep talking about Marner and Nylander, but you know, I think Kadri slowed down a little bit the past few games. He's capable of a little bit more.
It was bound to happen, though. Kadri scored a bunch of goals where, you know, they were just going in for him, and that's what happened. So, like,
I think Connor Brown, who had a really hot start, offensively slowed down a little bit.
Well, a lot of them will. But that's kind of, I don't know what people term it, regression. Like, you're going to go back to your average. Like, Nazem Kadri was shooting 20%. Like, that's unsustainable. Like, the best shooters in the world shoot under 20%. Like, he doesn't have the best shot in the league. So it was going to happen, but he was hot for a while, and now it's his turn to be cold. So when you look at it, who do you look to step up? Well, if it's not Kadri, like you just mentioned, Komarov has been...
He's not the answer.
But at 20 minutes a night, you got to...
Oh, he's got to give more than he's giving.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got one even strength point, I believe, this year.
JVR is a guy who's capable of doing that. If Marner's not going to score a bunch of goals, he certainly can assist on them because he's a terrific passer.
And Nylander's a goal scorer. He's got to score goals.
Marlowe, good shooter. Like, and then guys that are in the lineup to get more ice time. Kapanen, make a statement. Ray just said it in the 5 o'clock hour. You don't want to come out of the lineup? Do something so that they don't want to take you out of the lineup. And he's capable of doing that.
Well, but that's more on Babcock, because even if he does something, if Matthews returns on Tuesday, he's coming out.
Yeah, like, but you can take somebody else out, like force them to take Komarov.
I would like to see that, but Komarov's playing 19 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game. That's not a guy on the brink of coming out of the lineup.
No.
He's doing nothing. Like, he kills penalties. He's a good penalty killer. Yeah. And he and Hyman, that's their first penalty kill unit, and they go out there and they do a good job. Full credit to him.
Yes.
But other than that, Leo Komarov is not bringing anything to this team right now.
Well, and he's...
And yet he's getting 19 or 20 minutes a night. That's on Babcock.
It is, but we also have to take a look at... I think there are other things at play here, too. He's a pending unrestricted free agent. That's somebody where... We saw it last year, and I know it was a different team, but when you start to... showcase is the wrong word, but if you got to make a decision on Bozak, Komarov, JVR, like they can't be in and out of the line. Like they've got to be in the lineup.
But if you're in it to win it, man, and a guy's played himself out, that's on him.
It is.
And he's made the decision for you.
And it's not like Komarov is going to fetch you.
He is what he is. He's 32 years old or whatever, and he's a third line, fourth line checker. That's what he is.
But he's also trusted by Babs.
Well,
the truth.
But and that's what I'm saying. That's on Babcock to. He's not going to explain it, because if you were to ask him, he'd be insulted and he'd shoot you down.
He'll be 31 in January, Komarov. So he's 31 years old.
Okay.
And you're right. Like he has to bring more to the table.
But I'm not sure he's capable of bringing more. Like he may just be that guy who's got everything out of it that he can, and he's a grinder type guy, and he checks and he pisses other teams off, but sometimes you hit 30 and you are what you are.
Oh yeah.
You know, and he's trying to keep up with guys like Kadri, like Nylander last night, like Marlowe on every given night, or most given nights, and it's kind of exposing him for what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But Babcock continues to trust him. You know, Hyman's a much better skater. He's more effective than Komarov.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, similar skill set in terms of they're not going to take over a game. They're not going to go end to end or, you know, start a tic-tac-toe play for you. So when you stop scoring goals, those guys become more amplified. You start looking at the checkers, and you're like, man, they're getting a lot of ice time.
Yeah.
You know, no one cared about Komarov and Hyman's ice time when they were scoring 7 on Winnipeg opening night or 8 against the Rangers at home on the second game of the season.
Right.
You know, when Matthews is getting his and –
But those, like
Marner
and
Nylander.
I kind of feel like these games are outliers, just like I felt like those games at the start of the year were outliers.
Well, I think last night was the first time they've been shut out.
Yeah,
all
it was.
Year.
It was the first time they were shut out.
So, you know, it is, it's not something that happens that often. But over the past few weeks, they scored so much early on that their numbers were so high in terms of the league average. Even though they've slowed down recently, they're still pretty high, so that number can be a bit deceptive based on the way they're actually playing right now.
But that's what I'm saying. Even the way they're playing, to me, it's a downturn and it's an outlier. But the 7-2, 8-5 games were
equally
outliers.
As so crazy.
They're somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
you know,
and
they can
listen,
get three a night. For
they're
sure.
still talented. They're still loaded with offensive weaponry. And
just,
Freddie Anderson played really well again last night.
Yeah, he's a solid goaltender. They're
just in a down. Like, look at Winnipeg. We debate which team is the best in Canada. Winnipeg
lost
all of a sudden
last night.
Got smoked last night at home.
Yep. That was Hellebuck's first loss at home this year.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And I think they've lost 4 or 5 or something like that.
I was looking at it. It's 2-3 or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're having some issues all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're slowed down.
But they're still really good. They're still the same team, and they're going to be fine, and they're a playoff team.
That's the ebbs and flows of a season.
Exactly. And that's where the Leafs are right now. We'll get to a Friday five-pack here momentarily. Bruce Boudreau expected to join us in about 20 minutes. ESPN reporting that Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson is being investigated for alleged workplace misconduct.
The owner.
The owner of the team. Like, the society is on lockdown right now. There's so much happening. There's so many people that are being accused of different things, who are being fired, who are being suspended. And, you know, it started with Harvey Weinstein and Hollywood. Every day something else is coming out. And now it's into the, and it's been in the political sphere for quite some time. And now it's in the sports sphere. And it's been a part of sports media. Obviously, up here, we know what happened with Greg Zahn and other situations now down in the States. But this is the first time I can think of, like, an owner of a company. Like, the owner.
The owner of,
like, you know, like Roger Ailes with Fox, he was like the president and CEO. But this is like Rupert Murdoch being accused. Like, this is the owner of the team. Now, that doesn't mean that
That should be absolved.
Absolved, of course not. And listen, I don't know the details, and innocent until proven guilty. I don't know who's accused him or what the accusation is, but this is quite the story. Well, we're talking about an owner who is now under investigation within his own empire.
Well, people are holding each other accountable. That's pretty much what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, there's a consistent theme with a lot of the people that are being outed is how they've treated people, and it's disrespectful. And you hope that, you know, in your lifetime you've learned to treat people the way that you want to be treated. It's awful, and you never want to speak out of turn, because it's just, you know, you search back in your life and you hope that you haven't been disrespectful to people. But I can't think of an owner.
I'm not saying that this has never happened.
No,
listen,
but I can't
in power.
But I'm saying I can't think of right now a sports owner that has been accused.
That's been outside. In like a situation like that I can think of off the top of my head. The news just broke when we were on the air.
Yeah,
like maybe there are examples. It wouldn't surprise me if there have been examples over time.
I'm sure there is.
You know, of whatever, someone within the workplace accusing someone, but I would be curious to see how this investigation would have been launched and who takes it from here. Yeah. Like, can you have an employee of the Panthers investigating, or does this have to go to
higher,
like, Goodell
level
and the NFL? They've got to come in, because this is the problem with the power structure. Yeah. Jerry Richardson still owns the team. He's not going to sell the team, I would presume, just because of an accusation.
No, but if it's an awful accusation, that's when the police get involved. And Was it Sterling?
In L.A. with the Clippers?
Yes. Sterling.
Yeah, Donald Sterling.
Like, you look at what happened there, the league forced him to sell.
Well, that's true. Now, that was
That was racial.
And the players took a stand and said, "We want this guy out of here." And Sterling had a long history of just being very scummy and doing awful things, an awful person. Yeah, being an awful person and a bad owner.
Right.
So you know the ice was thin to begin with, and when the players threatened not to play, Adam Silver swept in and said, "All right, you got to get rid of this team. You're out."
Right.
And even with that, he still made over $2 billion.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's still very wealthy. He's a wealthy bad person.
Yeah, and he's now he's been outed, and everyone heard the tape. And even though I didn't like the way the tape was discovered, and he was being taped during a private conversation
in his own house,
I think that's a big issue with society today. But nonetheless, it got out, and they had to deal with it. But using the Sterling example and applying it here is interesting. I mean, without knowing the allegations and the details, we'll find out. But could it get big enough? Could it become explosive and toxic enough where Goodell almost has to step in and be like, you got to get rid of the team. We can't have you in the club anymore.
Well, Goodell's got his deal.
He does.
And I thought it was interesting in reading the details that were clarified about the private jet.
Didn't get that jet after all.
But he said, I didn't ask for it for free. I asked for access to the NFL, like their fleet of jets, and I would pay for it. So basically, to stay in the club. But he made sure to clarify.
I'm not sure I'm buying it.
I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, why would he lie about it? But
that's,
he is Roger Goodell.
But that would be like Mike Babcock saying, "Okay, in my deal for $50 million at 8 years, you know, I want private plane hours or whatever. But for the rest of my life, I want access to MLSE's private plane fleet."
But I'll pay for
it. At a rate, exactly.
Okay. Well, I mean, Goodell's making so much money. Why does he need access to the NFL's planes?
Maybe.
I think that's what was confusing.
There's probably a certain rate, like you pay for gas and you pay for
maybe they supply the pilots or something like that.
There's probably something that is very appeasing to him instead of him having to join Marquee Jet or NetJets or, you know, any of these companies out there.
Bruce Boudreaux will join us, coming off a win last night.
We hope.
We'll see. We'll get to our Friday five-pack. The O-Dog, we hope, will join us back in studio to tee up the Leafs Wings game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday. Today, call with the names of all five players. You can win a pair of lower bowl tickets. See the Leafs take on the Sharks January 4th at the ACC. Also, for the next few weeks leading up to the holidays, our winner will also take home one full case of 2017-18 Upper Deck Series 1 Team Triple Collectible Hockey Cards. The theme this week, former Maple Leafs who have played with Patrick Marleau. Former Leafs who played with Patrick Marleau. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Vesa Toskala. Vesa Toskala. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in with all five players named. You're going to see Leafs, Sharks, January 4th down at the ACC. Leafs back in action tonight in Detroit. You can watch it on TSN4. They're coming off a 2-0 loss in Minnesota last night. The first time they've been shut out all year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the greatest game. It wasn't a Picasso in terms of entertainment value.
It wasn't a good game.
But I would think the winning coach probably had a pretty good time.
Of course. Why wouldn't you?
If you win the game, you play to win the game.
Exactly.
You play to win the game. Let's head to Minnesota now. Here's the head coach of the Wild, Bruce Boudreaux. How you doing, Bruce?
Doing good. Doing good.
Did you enjoy that game last night?
I enjoyed the result of the game last night.
What was the middle part of it like? Because it wasn't too fun to watch, Brucey.
Well, I didn't ask you to watch it.
I had
quite
to,
frankly.
Though.
You know what? We had to do what we had to do. We're not a very high-scoring team at this present point. So, I mean, we've got a backup goalie in. So what do you do when you have a backup goalie? You defend. And I thought... We defended very well against a team that is normally a pretty high-scoring, free-wheeling team.
Is it, you know, people say, like, why change? Like, even if you had your starter in there, if it brings success, wouldn't you just keep defending like that, Bruce?
Yeah, I know, but you know what? Sometimes you have a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? when we've got Doobie in the net, there's a little more
freedom.
Yeah, freedom trust. To do what we did. Trust is another good word too. And you know what? With Alex in, the one thing we wanted to, we knew he wanted to beat the Leafs because they didn't treat him very well. I don't think when he was there. So we defended and blocked shots, and we did what we had to do to win. Hello.
We got you, Bruce.
We got you.
I think you're getting a call or something. I don't know what's going on there.
No, it wasn't me.
All right, we're good.
Oh, we just want to make sure you were.
We're testing you. We just want to make sure you're on your toes.
Okay.
As for Stalock and him playing last night and him apparently, well, he was rattled with the Leafs the way everything went down with that trade. Do you buy into that stuff? You're a former player. You know, a goaltender having a chip on his shoulder, can it really factor into the way he plays?
Well, you know what? I think it can, but I think it can happen to anybody. I mean, there's a lot of people that have been traded to another team and they didn't think they get treated the right way and they get a chance to get back at them. Their senses are a little more acute. They're more into it. They prepare a little bit different that they can't prepare every night for. And they have the game of their game of their lives type thing. And I don't know if it was the game of Alex's life, but I mean, he certainly was a wall for us back there. And I mean, he worked so hard in practice. I know the guys played a little harder for him than they, blocked more shots than we normally do. So that being said, I think we did a good job.
With Bruce Boudreau, head coach of the Minnesota Wild. Speaking of goalies being traded, you're familiar with the guy who was playing for the other team last night, Freddie Anderson. You had him in Anaheim, and he has been lights out for the Leafs. Are you surprised at all based on his success?
Not at all. I thought Freddie was a great goalie when we had him in Anaheim. As a matter of fact, I saw Lou and Babs at the draft after they'd traded for him, and they asked me that question. I said they got a real gem. They got a guy that comes to play. I mean, I think the beginning of the two seasons in Toronto weren't as good as what Freddie would like, but he's a guy that can win you big games at the right time, and he's going to get better. He's still pretty young, I think, for a goaltender. I think he's going to be the backbone that helps the league get to the next level.
Bruce, when you look at the league and the way it's trending as far as speed and maybe younger guys, but you have a guy like Eric Staal who signs with you guys and had a terrific season last year. Miku Koivu is older but still contributes. How is that balance for you as a coach when you know you have some veteran guys who maybe don't have the younger legs but who can still play in sliding them in there with the Granlunds and players that do have the young legs?
Well, I mean, and those two guys you mentioned, Eric Staal can still skate. He can skate as well as anybody, and that was his gift when he came. And I don't know what happened to him in the last couple of years when he was with Carolina and when he went to New York, but he came here with a renewed vigor, so to speak. And I'd heard his conditioning the last year wasn't great, but he's been in great shape here. And the thing with them guys is we just have to rest them a little bit more. I mean, Miko's not a fast skater, but he is such a good defender that we never have a worry about him, whoever he plays against. He'll be going up against Connor McDavid tomorrow, who's, you know, maybe twice as fast as him. But Miko will do a pretty good job on him because he's always in the right position defensively.
Bruce, you said you always, I think all of us former Leaf alumni, and we follow the team, watching the Leafs just this year or catching their games on TV. What do you make of them? What do you think of this group, some of the young players, and where they could possibly go?
Well, you know what? They're a dynamic group. I mean, last night, for example, it wasn't a question of us matching lines because they're top three lines. I mean, it's pick your poison. So we were just we were rolling lines against them. But, you know, every team goes through a little bit over 80 games or 82 games, goes through a little bit of slump. And it's how you manage that, I mean, to keep them as short as possible. I mean, we're in a division. I mean, the Leafs are a little luckier than us. I think they're in a division that they can go through this and not worry about not making the playoffs. The Central Division, on the other hand, we've been going at it like this since day one. And if you lose two or three in a row, you think, oh my God, the world is coming to an end, because it doesn't seem like that you gain any room. When we win, Chicago wins or Winnipeg wins, and you don't see St. Louis losing too much or Dallas losing these days. So it's a little bit different. And I think the Leafs are going to come out of it fine. I think it'll be a tough game in Detroit tonight. But once they're done there and they get home and, you know, they get their leader back in Austin, I think they're going to be just fine.
Will you be watching the Leaf game in Detroit tonight?
I'm waiting for it to come on now.
We have Bruce Boudreau. We love those comments from you yesterday. And I say you've PVR'd Leaf games when you haven't been able to watch them live. Can you confirm or deny you've ever actually recorded a Leaf game?
Okay, so when you say record, it's a little bit easier
right.
than PVR.
Sorry. It's TiVo in the States.
I got my VCR still hooked up, so I'm a little more old school than that.
Good man.
No, I've recorded Leaf games. I mean, hey, they're still my team when they're not my team.
That's right. Well, I was thinking if you guys won in overtime last night, that would have been a perfect situation for you.
Yeah, and you know how many friends I had back home said, you know, it's our team, but I don't mind if you win in overtime. Just give us a point.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I get that twice a year when we play them.
Well, you got it done in regulation last night. Your team's red hot right now, and we always appreciate you taking time for us. So thank you for doing this, and we'll catch up down the road.
No problem. Thanks for calling me, guys.
There's Bruce Boudreau. He has taped Leaf games he couldn't watch live.
Friend of the show.
And he would have been
waiting for the game to come on.
I love
tonight.
That. It starts in an hour. It's like I'm sitting here just waiting for the Leaf game.
That's hilarious.
Guy coaches the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah. No game tape for the next Wild game. I'm checking in.
Well,
on the
they
Leafs
play
tonight.
Edmonton tomorrow afternoon.
Well, he'll get to that tomorrow
yeah, he'll get
morning.
Get to that. But
there's a Leaf game on tonight.
That's funny.
That is outstanding. He's a good man. We appreciate him calling in.
He went dark there for a sec. I was waiting for him to finish up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was that a call coming in? Like I
don't
heard
know,
something.
He blamed us. I guess it was a technical issue on our end. Something happened, but I was convinced it was dropping.
Do you have it? Where he's like, hello?
And then, you know what? I was waiting for him to pick up on what he was saying,
like,
and he just said,
dropped off.
I'm done.
Well, I kind of didn't check out, but I asked kind of the first question, so I'm like, it's going to you or him after that. And then I was like, okay, guys, like, do you have anything? Or
I looked at you, but I was waiting
for
him to finish up.
You would have lost your mind.
What do you mean?
If you had the first question, you would have looked at us and said, are you guys even paying attention? You would have went Steph on us.
Yeah, I might have.
I was listening. I was waiting for him to...
Like, you got focused.
I was waiting for him. Do we have
you
it?
You want to hear it? Let's hear it.
We defended and blocked shots, and we did what we had to do to win. Hello?
We got you, Bruce.
We got you.
You know, now that I hear it again, I think that was the end of his answer.
He dropped off, yeah, but like...
That was the end of his answer,
see,
yes.
I was of the impression he was continuing to speak and his connection went
no.
bad.
Yeah.
So
that's on you.
That's totally on me.
But
that's not on him.
I thought
one more time.
Yeah.
We defended and blocked shots and we did what we had to do to win. Hello?
We got you, Bruce.
That's like a 5-second pause.
It was four. We went to the game tape. 4-second pause.
4 seconds
that's
of
a
dead air.
That's an eternity on radio. And if you're on the other line, you must think they're punking you or something.
Hello?
We need that drop. Yeah. The Brucey hello.
Well, the Brucey hello.
Around.
You've got the Lindy cough. And even your response to Lindy's cough. Are you all right, Lindy?
You're right there, Lindy. That was a couple years ago now.
That one was brilliant.
Lindy Ruff.
We have to have the best of Overdrive sound bites.
Yeah.
And I think that would make it the Sean Burke flush, although we stole that from Naylor.
Yeah, that was not technically our property. Anyway, we want to get to a Friday 5-pack.
Yeah.
So let's come back. We'll get to that. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up a busy weekend. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Keeps asking me to give him a high five.
All right, classic. High five.
Five beers. Yeah, they were all out of six packs. Weird, huh?
Friday, 5-pack.
Top five, top five.
All right, so the Friday five-pack. Generally, we do this earlier in the hour, but, oh, you were away, and Boudreaux was coming up, so we pushed it back a little bit.
Hello.
Up on TSN.ca, the Quizmaster has put forth the top 25 players in NHL history to commemorate the 100th anniversary, which is right around the corner. So top 25 of all time. There are three current players in the top 25, Crosby, Ovechkin, and Jagr. We're going to take them out of this because they're already in there.
Yep.
Of all the other current players in the league, how would you rank it 1 through 5, the guys who have the best chance at being in the top 25 when they retire?
Want me to just fire off my list?
Fire off the list, and it's got to be 1 through 5. Start at 5 down to 1, because we're all going to have similar players, but the debate is how you would rank them.
1 is the most likely, right?
Most likely would be number 1.
5, I have Carey Price. Pretty self-explanatory. Regarded as the best goaltender in the game.
Of this generation.
Want me just to, we'll go through the list, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
4, I have Patrick Kane. 3, I have Erik Karlsson. 2, I have Austin Matthews. And 1, I have Connor McDavid.
You've got Austin Matthews in your top 5.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I didn't see that one coming. McDavid at 1. I have McDavid at 1, too.
Yeah.
I'll go 5 through 1 here. I want to get back to Matthews because I, as much as I love him, he's not in my top 5.
No,
he's got to do more.
How the hell do you know? He's only played 1 year.
But that's the whole point. Like, McDavid is so special and
so
different.
There's a bit of projection here. You got to be thinking,
that's right.
What's this guy going to be after 16 or 17 years in the league?
If he continues at 40 plus a year and puts up massive numbers and becomes the greatest American of all time,
he's played 1 year in the league. He got 40 goals. I'm like, it's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, and this year he's been great when he's been healthy.
Yeah,
I got number 5 is Jonathan Toews. Now I'm a little bit dicey on that, but the hardware. He's got 3 cups, 2 gold medals, you know, Selkies. I'm worried that his career is starting to tail a little bit.
But I think there's so much from 18 to 28.
That's what I'm saying. And if he can do anything over the next 10 years, and they maybe get to another cup, and he puts up another quality couple of seasons, I think he's going to have a decent track record. He's already got a great resume. He's already a lock Hall of Famer.
Right.
But I got Toews at 5. I got Karlsson at 4.
Mm-hmm.
What's he got? 3 Norris trophies already? 2, anyway.
Yeah, and he should have at least 1 more.
Maybe a couple of more.
Arguably 2 more.
And I think he will get more as it keeps on going. And his numbers and his stats are unbelievable.
Yeah.
I got Patrick Kane at 3. He's got a heart. He's got multiple cups.
3.
International.
Yeah.
I got Drew Doughty at 2 because of the hardware. That's why I have him ahead of Karlsson. 2 gold medals, 2 cups. He's got a Norris now, so he's only 1 back. He's, I believe, the same age as Karlsson. Plays on a better team again right now. And if he stays in L.A., he will continue to be on a better team than I think Carlson's going to be on in Ottawa. Number 1 is McDavid.
Yeah.
McDavid is a lock to be, I think, in the top 10 if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
Forget top 25.
Yeah.
He might. I think the debate is whether or not McDavid's got a chance of being ahead of Crosby, where Sid's at 8 right now, I believe, on the TSN.ca list.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Can Crosby do anything over the next 10 years to move him further up? I think he can.
You win another cup.
Maybe a couple more Hart trophies, and how could he not move up a little bit more?
Art Ross, like, there's things that you can add into your repertoire.
Absolutely. So that's me. 5 at Toews. 4 Karlsson, 3 Kane, 2 Doughty, 1 McDavid.
I'm 5.
I don't have Price, just for the record. I don't think Price is, like, how many goalies are on this list? He's not knocking off Hasek. Not going to happen. I don't think he'll knock off Waugh, because I don't think he's going to win a cup. And I don't think he'll knock off Brodeur.
But the thing.
Terry Sawchuk, Plant. I mean, you do your list, but I don't have Price as
one of the... I did have Price at 5, but it was a debatable 5. Like, just like Toews for you, I think Price is a generational goalie. He's that good. And people that argue and all that, like, I'm not going to argue with them.
No, he's a great goalie, but I don't...
You can't argue with anybody. It's your list. You can name whoever you want.
No, but the whole point is there's a debate. You argue about everything.
Right.
Do you see him as being a top
Patrick
5 goalie
Waugh never
all
won
time?
A heart. This guy did.
Yeah.
That's deemed you're the best player that season.
In the league.
In the league.
At
now,
that given
Chris time. Quizmaster was saying that Patrick Waugh won Conn Smythe. Yeah.
2 cups.
Exactly. Cups and Conn Smythe.
He won more than 2. He won 4 cups, I think.
But that's
4?
Well, you had 2 in Colorado, 2 with Montreal. 86 and 93 with the Habs. And
did he have 2 in Colorado or 1?
2.
Pretty sure he had 2.
Okay, so anyways, Patrick Waugh, amazing. Yeah. I just, for
all
me.
Right, you got Price of 5.
You're talking chance. We're just talking a chance, like in their lifetime. Price, for me, I had four at Doughty. I had Drew Doughty. The resume speaks for itself. And I don't know. LA's a team that's kind of sneaky this year. I don't know. Maybe if the guy ends up doing something again.
Well, he won a gold medal like when he was 20, and he played a lot on that team.
And if he ends up going in free agency, I know he's going to stay in LA, but who knows if he ends up going another place that has success as well. Three, Patrick Kane was a lock for me. I think that guy is special. He's money and resume. Two, Carlson. Carlson, all he does is put up a point a game every year. And, yeah, he's having a funk right now. It happens to every great player. But Erik Karlsson's a special defenseman. He's a special player, and arguably he's the third best player on the planet when he's at that. Nobody was arguing that in the playoffs last year.
No.
That was two Karlsson, and one was McDavid.
McDavid.
Yeah.
So we all have McDavid at one.
McDavid at one, because it's just this guy's head and shoulders above where other people are at.
So, well, I mean, there was some discrepancy. I mean, you had Matthews. Neither of us had Matthews.
I didn't have
Price.
But Taze, it's a great debate, because I did think of putting Taze in instead of Carey Price. And Carey Price doesn't have the hardware, but he does have, you know, he won gold medal. He's won a heart. Like, he does have hardware. He just doesn't have the one that people are chasing, which is the Stanley Cup.
Quite honestly, I had Taves. I could have put Price in there. I don't think either guy will be in the top 25.
Yeah, when the dust settles, not be. Like, this is it's a long run.
I think McDavid's truly the only lock of the guys we mentioned. I think McDavid, if he stays healthy, we're projecting here, and he keeps rolling, and he is what he is. He'll be a top 25 player of all time. Everyone else in the league, you know, that's available to us. We know Sid's already there, Ovi's there, Yager's there. Everyone else,
I think,
including
Carlson could sniff that.
I find it so goofy to be comparing guys. There are some older hockey people you can talk to that say some of the greats, the all-time greats, they wouldn't even be able to keep up the way the game's played nowadays.
I know.
And I know that's it's so weird. It's like, what, that guy couldn't keep up nowadays?
I know, but that can go both ways.
The evolution of anything has
the athlete.
Changed.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's in better shape now.
There's just so many things that's why I find these lists tough to debate, because I didn't. We get to see.
I find it tough to debate as somebody going to bat for somebody that they never put eyes on in their life.
Someone just sent a tweet and brought up a great point. All three of us omitted to bring up Evgeny Malkin.
Yeah.
None of us said Malkin.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it's because Malkin's further into his career, and we feel like if he's not in the 25 yet,
Malkin, all he does is get snubbed. He should have been in the top 100.
Joke that he wasn't in the top
100. Honestly, now that I think about it, I can't believe I missed him. I might have him ahead of Taves at five.
Would you?
I think I might put Malkin ahead, because Malkin's got three cups, too.
Yeah.
They both have three cups.
He's got stats.
He's got hearts. Yeah, he's got a Hart trophy. He's got an Art Ross. He's got a Conn Smythe. You know, to be honest, the thing is, he doesn't have the international success, but that's because of where he was born.
Right.
He was Canadian, he'd have exactly what Taves has.
But these lists, if there was just a straight criteria, it would be cut and dry. Okay, this guy is this. But it's a lot of it is subject to opinion. And, when you're talking about, I never laid eyes live on Bobby Orr, but I'm going to watch the tape and I'm going to take my dad, his opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad loved him.
And the stats. You can look at it. The guy was plus 127 one year.
He was ridiculous. But for me to compare goaltenders, which is that position has changed so much over the years. When you're looking at the best goalies from the 90s, Grant Fear, and you're watching Mike Bossy go down the wall and take a slap shot and bury it five hole, you're going, that's a bad goal in today's game. But it's not the case.
Well, you look at the top five, courtesy of TSN.ca. Gretzky 1, Orr 2, Howe 3, Lemieux 4, Richard 5. Howe and Richard played in the 40s. Two of the top five players of all time played in the 40s.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking... you can't hold that against them. That's when they played. And during that era, they were remarkably dominant.
But
Richard, first guy to ever score 50. Howe... obviously unbelievable. But
that's the thing. Gordie Howe, did he have the stats? Or was he just known as the most...
Well-rounded.
He was like a power forward before power forwards existed. Like, Gordie Howe was kind of a five-tool player.
And his stats are bigger than life, but he also played forever. He played longer than anybody.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's always a great debate.
It is.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board, I will lay the points. Detroit at home over Chicago. I'm fading the Browns like always. I'll lay the points. Baltimore in Cleveland. And I'll lay the points. Washington at home against Arizona. Throw down 20. You can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So Leafs in action tonight on TSN 4. Raptors at home against Brooklyn. You can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. Watch it also on TSN. Big NFL weekend. Outdoor game tomorrow in Ottawa between the Sens and the Habs.
Monday is going to be the show of the year.
You think it can top this past Monday? Remember this Monday, how crazy it was? The Leafs were playing both games. Once Matthews was hurt, Stanton got traded.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably our best show of the year.
It was a very good show. Very good show.
Today was up there.
We're getting a lot of tweets in here about different, like, Patrice Bergeron, he's not cracking the top 25.
What? Who wrote that in?
Someone sent that in.
This is of all time.
We'll get to your tweets and texts on Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll read them and we'll chat then.